be a counselor, a mighty God and the Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a father and would love us, would a love that would not cease. Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know cannot begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my mind's ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus means to me. I stand amazed to think the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who I am and who he is, for he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful, more than wonderful. That's what Jesus means to me.
Thank you for that. Let's stand together briefly this morning as we read the scripture. Colossians, please. Colossians chapter number 2. And I do want to thank you for being here this morning. Colossians chapter number 2. We'll read verses 4 to 6. Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. Colossians chapter 2, and I'll begin in verse number 4. It says this, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And ye, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And let's pray. Father, we're so grateful this morning for your word. And Lord, we need your word each and every day. And Father, as we speak for a few minutes and point out a few truths, I pray that you would direct our minds and our thoughts. Help us to get that which you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're doing a little mini-series on I Love Church. Of course, we're having our little I Love Sunday School campaign, but fact of the matter is, I love church. Now, I like what Brother Chim says about his class. I kind of like Sunday school best, but pray for me. I've been doing that a long time. But I love church, and God is for the church. The church takes a hit a lot of times today. And by the way, no church is perfect because people are not perfect. Some people are like, well, you know, they go from church to church, and they're like, you know, I'm having trouble finding a perfect church. Now, I understand some have issues, but listen, if you ever find a perfect church, make sure you let me know so I don't go there. I might ruin it, okay? I'm not perfect. But we want to find a church that, you want to find a church, of course, that God would lead you to and you listen to. But I've always loved church. As a new Christian that was just getting into the faith and a 17-year-old, I got into church and it helped me so much. I think Christians miss out sometimes because they don't have a church home or they don't have a church family to be a part of. And so we need to do that. And that's why we're in this series. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how to enjoy church. And that had to do with knowing the purpose of church and making sure we fully participate in church. And then last week, kind of a testimony about one of the reasons I personally like church is because it taught me through the Word of God how to avoid bad decisions and how to make right decisions. Today, I want to talk to you about the reason we need church. Brother Romero and his testimony, thank you, Brother Romero, that was a great testimony. By the way, I'm going to add to my prayer list now, I pray that everybody gets a raise, okay? I do pray for the church people that God would prosper you, and so I hope God does prosper you, and if he does prosper you, make sure we see a little bit of that to keep the vision going forward. But I think God's people ought to be prospered. I think God's people ought to work hard. And when you do and you're a Christian, you're a good testimony, I think God sees that. But that's, thank you, Romero. I forgot why I brought that up. But he did mention in his testimony, we do live in confusing times. Things are changing fast. And I mention it often, but maybe it's just an irritation of mine. I don't understand how we cannot, as a society, understand that a male restroom should be for males and a female restroom ought to be for females. I don't understand how that's become, what's the word they use? Discrimination. It's not discrimination. We just don't think it through. But that's not the reason we need church. But one of the reasons we need church, what I want to talk about this morning, is really we need to understand the truth. Truth is kind of messed up today in which we live. As we read in our text, we see that Paul tells us here in Colossians, we are to live by faith. Colossians, the big religion in Colossians, they were Gnosticism, which was a spirit thing, and the body's evil and all the nonsense. There was a lot of problems there. So Paul wanted them to make sure that they walk correctly in their faith. And he tells them how to do it. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith. How do we live our Christian life? By faith. And sometimes we don't understand what faith is. But if we do the things that Paul mentions, we are to be solid and established in what we believe. Verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Christians shouldn't waver back and forth. Christians ought to know where they're at, what they believe, and they ought to be firm and strong and not blown about by every wind of doctrine, as the Bible tells us. We ought to know what we believe. But there has always been problems. Those who don't know God, whether purposely or accidentally, fight against the truth of God's word. By the way, that should not be a surprise to us. That has always been the case. From the early days of Jesus Christ, by the way, you do understand they crucified him. Now, I know that was God's plan, but one of the ways that that came about that God used was their hatred of him and their hatred of the truth. The truth is important. Our world is corrupt. I hate to say that. Our world is in bad shape. And the primary reason we're in bad shape is because we've lost our mooring. We lost the truth. The truth's the foundation. And once you don't have a truth, and truth is kind of a moving target, you're going to have problems. Our society has always been changing. Seems like things always go from order to disorder, right? That's one of the laws of thermodynamics. We always go from truth to, it starts to creep in. It's the way it is. In the 60s, our society dramatically changed. You say, well, what can you tie that to? Can you pinpoint it? It is easy. If you looked on a graph, all of the negative indicators of morality skyrocketed the same time that our Supreme Court said, take the Bible and take prayer out of school. Look at it. There was always bad. I'm not saying our society was perfect, but all of a sudden the chart, it shoots up. Why? You took not that everybody in our school system was a Christian, but they had some moral fiber. They knew a little bit of God's truth. There was something there. I remember, and maybe I'm dating myself here, I remember as a child, I would watch a show called Romper Room. Okay, now we're going to date you. How many of you remember Romper Room? Okay. You know what I remember? I remember two things about Romper Room. She would get this little, it almost looked like a mirror with no hole, and she would look out in TV land. And she'd say, I see Tommy. I see Billy. And I'm like, how can she do that? I didn't know, if you have 2 million people watching, there's going to be a Tommy. And I'm like, I hope she sees me. And she never said Steve. That must have been the show. I was sick, right? But I remember another thing about Romper Room, that if she did it today, she'd probably be sued and go to jail. It was like a little kindergarten classroom. And she would have them sit down for snack time. And she did something that was so egregious, so evil, she would pray for their snacks. We've come a long way, haven't we? You say, what's happened? Truth. You go to the average school, it looks like a prison. What's happened? When you take God out, all kinds of nonsense is going to come in. Times have changed. That's why we need church. There needs to be a place in our society where someone gets up and says, why don't we just follow what God says? Why don't we just stand and let's have the truth? By the way, I'm getting off here a little bit, but we'll be fine. It seems like churches are trying to back away from the truth. We're trying to say, hey, we'll get more people into the church if we just love people and let's kind of back away from the truth. Heard of someone that changed their church. And they said, well, the reason we did that is because we just want to love people. Listen, if you're not loving people, that's your fault. I think we ought to love everybody. But are we really loving somebody if we're not letting them know what God says? What's that all about? Many years ago, I think it was one of the Winter Olympics, and sometimes they have these competitions. I'm not really into it, but I was watching it with the kids one night, and they were, they kind of do like little bios of some of the athletes, and they had one of the lady skiers there, and they were doing a little biography of her. And they asked her parents how they reared her. And her parents said, we didn't tell her anything to do. We just let her make mistakes, and when she made a mistake, we'd say, maybe you shouldn't do that. Now, that sounds cute, but that's ridiculous. Go ahead, run in the street, and when you get hit by a car, we'll tell you, maybe you shouldn't have done that. We hear so much garbage, and it sounds cute. By the way, I think stuff sometimes, and it seems like a good idea, and it's like, wait a minute. God doesn't agree with that. We need the truth. That's what Paul was telling them here. I'm going to give you a few things here. I want you to tell a couple thoughts. First of all, the Bible expresses the importance of truth. I'm going to just give you some thoughts here. I'll quote some verses. We won't turn to them for sake of time, but I will tell you the reference. Why is truth important? Because Jesus tells us it's how we're supposed to worship in John chapter 2 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. There's so many ridiculous things creeping into the church. Hey, why don't we do this? By the way, everybody feels the Spirit. I can help you figure out something if it's God's Spirit or it's your Spirit. You know how I can tell? Does it match up with the truth? Hey, we could feed your spirit here this morning. But it wouldn't be the truth. The Spirit of God feeds us the truth. I'm not saying this blasphemy. I hear people say, the old man and I upstairs, we have an agreement. Well, first of all, I hope that's your neighbor upstairs you're talking about. I hope you're not talking about God because he's not the old man upstairs. You don't have any agreement with him. I don't have any agreement with him. You know the only agreement I have with him? Did you say that, Lord? Yes, sir. I agree. But sometimes we think, well, I just have my own little thing here, and this works for me, and I think this is best. No, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. We are naturally corrupt, and we must be very careful that we allow God to lead us. He also tells us it's important because the truth sets us free. John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, if we changed everything in our church and just made everybody comfortable and showed movies and got up here and said something that's no different than Dr. Phil, are we helping anybody? That doesn't, but look, there is nothing I can think of on my own that's going to make you free. Unless you're in jail and I bail you out. That's about the only way. And by the way, if you're in jail, you can call me, but I ain't bailing you out. Okay? No. You know what will make you free? God's truth. That's why we try to stick to it the best we can. God's truth changes our life. Sanctify them, Jesus said in John 17:17. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. You say, man, I really want to be different in my life. There are some areas of my life I would like to change. You know how you do that? I'm going to tell you how you do that. Get connected to God's truth. God's truth. That will change you. Oh, you can try willpower. By the way, willpower will help you for a little while. But you know what? You need something more than that. You need something firmer than that. You need the foundation of God's truth. His truth brings everlasting joy. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. On Sunday nights, we're talking about joy from the book of Philippians. Joy is not found our way. Joy is a byproduct of when we're following God's truth. We look for joy everywhere and we don't find it. But you know, once we commit to God and start following his truth, you know what happens? God gives us joy. It's a result of obeying God. He tells us that we're responsible to know what truth is. 2 Timothy 2:14 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, if you're being deceived this morning, if I'm being deceived this morning, it's because I'm not doing my due diligence to understand what God is saying. By the way, I don't like being lied to. I'd rather just be told the truth. One time, I used to pick up, in the early days of church, we had a church van, and I'd pick up a bunch of people for church in the van, and I'd pick up the teenagers, and I got them one time in there. I said, listen, do me a favor. I said, don't lie to me anymore. Because they would say, they'd make up excuses. I'd go by their house. Oh, I can't come this morning because this and that. I said, listen, when I call you in the morning, if you're not going to come, just be honest. Just say, I don't want to go. I remember the next week, there was a Cambodian kid named Charlie. Not you. And I said, hey, Charlie, I'll be by. Our church was like at 1 in the afternoon. I'll be by at 11:30 to pick you up. He goes, I'm not coming. I'm like, why? He goes, I'm not going to lie to you today. I don't want to. And I said, you know what, Charlie? I admire that, and I appreciate you telling me the truth. He goes, really? I said, I sure do. I said, by the way, I'm going to be by at 11:30, and you better be ready. He's like, now you know why I lie. But just tell me the truth. Don't lie to me. I don't want to buy for a lie. By the way, lies are everywhere. Well, you know, I was just watching this talk show, and they said this, and that sounds good. Lies are everywhere. Well, I was listening to a radio, you know. Look, I hear people talk sometimes, and I can tell you what kind of music they're listening to. It's like, come on, man. It's lying to you. Let's stick to the truth of God's word. So the Bible tells us about truth. But also, the Bible exposes the methods of deception. It does. We are fooled by people. Galatians 3:1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? See, the Corinthian church, the Galatian church started going backwards. And he didn't say, what happened to you guys? I mean, it got so bad, Paul said, you know, the scholars believe that Paul had a physical handicap. They believe it was his eye, something with his eye. So the Bible gives us hints that that's what it was. And he said, you know, there was a time that you loved me so much that if it was possible, you would have plucked your eye out and given it to me. And he goes, now am I become your enemy because I've told you the truth? They turned on him. And he didn't say, what happened to you? Two times he said, who? We are primarily influenced away from the truth by what we hear from other people. The Bible exposes their errors. Look at some of the words that he used in our, I'm back to the text now in Colossians. He uses the word beguile, to beguile. What does beguile mean? He goes, to deceive by false reasoning. In verse 4, this I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words, to deceive by false reasoning. There's false reasoning everywhere. By the way, you can flip any result you want to make it say what you want. They did a study on people. They said they found out that people who give, are generous, are happier. Well, people that don't want to give, they flipped it around and said, no, that's not what that means. It just means that happier people give more. Now, if you look at the Bible is very clear about it. What is it? If you're a generous person, you're happier. Your actions bring the joy. Joy doesn't bring the actions. But we that's how it is. Heard someone on radio once, you know, he was talking about a certain sin that was clearly mentioned in the Bible. And this guy was supposed to be a preacher, Brother Chim. And he said, it's okay if you're involved in this sin. He goes, and here was his reasoning, Brother Pineda. God loves you more than he loves his word. Now, there was no Bible verse for that, and it sounds cute. Do you understand the reason God gives us the principles in his word is because he loves us, and that's what makes us joyful. Not doing our own thing, but you can get these false reasoning. He also uses the word enticing. Be God with enticing words to persuade, and in this case, lead you to error. When I think of enticing, you think of it as a trap where there's bait being set. What is the purpose of the bait? To entice us. That's what James says in James chapter number 1. Says we're enticed, where the trap is baited. When we go fishing, I go fishing once a year. When you go fishing, why do you go once a year? Because I like to do it, but I'm not that good at it. Amen? But we go, and it's like the bait's important. Okay? What does the bait do? Number one, it draws the fish. And number two, it disguises the hook. Say, oh, don't you like catch and release? No. You love to eat fish? No. I hate fish, but I'm not going to let them back. This is war, man. If I'm out there and it takes me a while and I catch you, you aren't going back. Now, I'm not going to eat you, but somebody else is. It's the principle of the thing, okay? I'll release them into someone's mouth. That's how that works. But I want something that entices that little guy. Well, not little, I want a big one, but they're always that big. Okay, I remember I went fishing one time. I almost caught this. It must have been like 6 feet tall, but he got away. No, we're trying to entice them. We're trying to get them. You know, people do that with things that are false. You make it sound good, and they talk so smooth. We're enticed. You ever been to one of these motivational business opportunities? Hey, I'll tell you what, you get a percentage of their percentage and their percentage, and we'll all be rich. Look, the only one that's rich is the guy that owns a company. Okay? It's like, but they're so motivational. Hey, how many of you like to buy a house? Motorcycle. It's like, yeah. You know who's getting the house and the motorcycle? The guy talking to you. But that they entice us with the words. Be very careful you're not talked out of the truth. Very important. I read a story. I was reading a health book several years ago. I read a story about a little boy. His name was Jack. Jack was very, very, very sickly. He was very sick his whole life up until that time. I think he was like 14 or 15. And so in his school, and this was back like in the 30s or whatever, but in his school, they were having a motivational talk so about health, and he went there. And the guy was so dynamic in his speech. When Jack left, he goes, I'm gonna get involved with this for the rest of my life. His name was Jack LaLanne. How many remember that guy? Now, by the way, I'll say this. It worked for him. He lived to be like 90-something years old. He ate tree bark, but hey, he lived forever. You know? Man, when he was 80 years old, I wouldn't have said anything mean to the guy. He was ripped. But you know what changed his life and put him down that path? Some motivational speaker. Be very careful. We have to filter everything we hear through the truth of God's word. Amen. Be very, very careful. And then he says, we could be spoiled. What does that mean? Spoiled, to be carried off captive. The word is used in war. When you win, you get to spoil the enemy. You take them captive. Everything they own now belongs to you. How many people have been captured by that which is not true? Where's the battlefield? The battlefield is in our mind. That's where the truth is being knocked out. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And this is the key. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you understand what he's saying here? When these thoughts come our way, we're not supposed to be taken captive by the false thinking. We're supposed to take that false thinking captive, and we're supposed to take our thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. We're supposed to keep our mind in order, not be deceived. And then lastly here, the Bible explains the thinking we are to avoid. What kind of thinking should we avoid? He talks about philosophy. Philosophy. What is philosophy? That means love of knowledge and learning. Love of knowledge and learning. Now, by the way, that sounds good on the front end. The problem isn't learning. The problem is, what are we learning? See, the Bible talks about wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to understand the truths of God's word and to make them a part of our life. See, we sometimes, as Christians, misunderstand. We think IQ is the same as wisdom, and it is not. Some of the people with the highest IQs have had some of the most miserable lives. Why? They don't have wisdom. IQ, I'm not against IQ. Wisdom is understanding what God says. It's running my whole life through the filter of what God says. See, and I'm not against learning. Trust me, I'm not. I'm just saying we've made that a false god in our society. But what are we learning? We're learning the wrong thing. That's like making eating. We'll make eating, okay, that's great. What if you're eating poison? You're going to kill yourself. We need to learn the right things. But we learn philosophy. Well, that just sounds good. There's also, he talks about in our Colossians, vain deceit. What is that? Empty lies. Boy, there are so many lies in our society. We try to take every problem of society and make it someone else's fault, don't we? By the way, the biggest lie in our society is evolution. Okay? Now, if you want to say your relatives were monkeys or dinosaurs or reptiles, you name it, that's up to you. Okay? But evidence of a designer is the design, right? We're a very complicated thing. We are. And it doesn't happen by accident. How in the world can someone fall for that? By the way, there's no evidence. There isn't. And we're not on evolution today, but just so you know, there's no evidence. If life transitioned from one form to another over a period of billions of years, then common sense would tell you if you have, I think they said cows came from whales, then you would have the whale and you would have the cow, and over that billions of years, you would have just as many fossils of all the transitional forms leading up to the cow. There isn't any. What do they have? What does a cow and a whale have in common? You could eat both of them. But we believe these empty lies because someone gets up and they package it correctly. We believe lies. You know, our society has believed the lie that it's not human, it's a fetus. Drug abuse and other sins, they're a disease. Look at choices are what is causing us problems. And when we try to mask that, we're never going to get past that to the root problem. We're never going to find the truth that will make us free. He talks about the traditions of men, just something that's believed because we've been told it is. Talks about the rudiments of the world. What are the rudiments of the world? Just the principles of our society that are not founded on God's word. And then he talks about not after Christ. That's anything that's just not Christian. What's the whole point this morning? You know why we need church? Because there has to be a place where we can find the truth. There has to be a place where our theme this year, Explore the Book, where we're pointed to the truth. We're not just here to tell you everything. That's why we're telling you we need to get in our Bibles. You need to get in your Bible. Why? You need to know the truth. Every day that you're at work, every day we step outside of the walls of church when we're not here, we're bombarded with things that just aren't true. You can't even watch SportsCenter. It's garbage. You can't listen to these guys on the radio. Why? It's garbage. There's so much falsity and lies that are being peddled. We need to know what is true, and the Bible is the place to find it. Oh, you could find a church that'll tickle your ears. And if you're new here, I'm gonna be honest with you. That's not who we are. We're not trying to be mean-spirited or rude, but I think we have a responsibility to say, let's find the truth. Didn't Jesus Christ say, I am the truth? The way, the truth, and the life. And we wouldn't be doing you a favor to push you away from the truth. We need the truth today. We need a church that tells us the truth and pushes us to the Word of God. The battle is for the mind. Because what gets in here comes out the way you live. There's just no way around it. If you want to have the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised, we need to have His truth in our lives and in our mind. Amen. Let's all stand this morning.